From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. A little bit later on tonight, those special Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Well, but first, President Bush will one day be tried in court, just like deposed Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein for his involvement in the Iraq tragedy. That, according to Iran's supreme leader. Speaking to thousands of worshipers during the first Friday prayer of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said that Mr. Bush will be called to account for the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. So that rhetoric in Iran continues. Meanwhile, a senior U.S. nuclear official says that North Koreans were in Syria and that Damascus may have had contacts with secret suppliers to obtain nuclear equipment. Andrew Semmel, the acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Nuclear Nonproliferation Policy, did not identify the suppliers, but said the North Koreans were in the country and that he could not exclude that the network run by the disgraced Pakistan nuclear scientist A.Q. Khan, we've talked about him on the program before, that he may have been involved. A message from the state of California to its 16 and 17-year-olds, don't text and drive. A law signed by Governor Arnold, will require those teens to put down all cell phones and other electronic devices while driving. The law barring cell phones used by drivers under 18 will take effect July 1st of next year, as will the law restricting cell phone use among older drivers, which the governor signed last year. Automaker Chrysler is recalling some 369,000 vehicles for problems with brake systems and door latches and locks. Chrysler, which was taken private in a $7.4 billion deal last month, said it's recalling 296,000 sport utility vehicles for the brake-related problem. The vehicles affected include Jeep Grand Cherokee, Jeep Commander SUVs, for the 2006-2007 model years, and the 2007 Jeep Wrangler and Dodge Nitro. You'll get a notice if you've got those cars. Google is sponsoring a $14 million challenge for private firms and entrepreneurs to reach the moon. The internet giant will pay the cash to the first to land a fully operational robotic rover on the lunar surface by 2012. Interesting year, isn't it? If you go up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature article. A Chinese man has pulled a car more than 30 feet with his nose. I'm not kidding you. He attached a rope with two hooks to his nostrils and pulled a car with four adults inside for those 30 feet. Dreams, synchronicity, coincidence, you say? Up next, Michael and Nicole Sebastian, the Dream Dudes, on Coast to Coast AM. Michael and Nicole Sebastian, they're known as the Dream Dudes, and they've worked with dreams, omens, intuition for more than 20 years. Michael and Nicole, co-authors of Trust Yourself, Master of Your Dreams, Master Your Destiny, the Modern Day Bible on Dreams. They reside in Hollywood and conduct workshops, private consultations in the Los Angeles area. Their tools and techniques provide a methodology for opening a window to personal transformation and spiritual evolution. Nicole is a licensed drug and alcohol therapist, certified fitness trainer. Michael, sociologist, and has taught at numerous universities throughout the United States. They're back on Coast to Coast AM. Hello, Michael, Nicole. How are you both?
Hey, great.
Hi, George.
How are you, George?
Okay, I can understand, Michael, why you're a dream dude, but Nicole, a dude?
Oh, you betcha. You won't forget the name, George.
Well, that's true, too. That's true. Hey, since we last talked, I've had a lot of people calling me with feelings of intuition, strange moments of synchronicity. What's going on? Is anything changing here in the universe that would allow this to happen?
Well, I think it's been my experience, at least, that things have been speeded up recently. You've heard of the, you know, and you had a show I think a month ago where you had open lines on synchronicities and people calling in with stories and things, and it was evident that everyone at some point or another has been experiencing synchronicities, but it's becoming more prevalent than it used to be. And you know, our particular theory is that it's kind of like the 100th monkey theory, that as things speed up and increase in our universe, especially at a quantum level, we see more synchronicities on a daily basis in our waking life. And it seems to be headed toward a critical mass or a point whereby everyone starts picking up on more synchronicities in their daily life. It's like a, I'd call it a field of consciousness more than anything else. And that field of consciousness is expanding more rapidly than it used to, and it's going to hit critical mass.
Do these people have to train themselves for this to happen, or do they just seem to stumble into it?
Well, George, I think both, really, because I think we can be best prepared by using specific techniques and tools. However, one way or the other, as I like to say, the universe will have its way with us. And so it can be a gentle process where we are primed and ready and prepared and looking at it through the view of an eager child, if you will.
And there's technique. We've developed something that we call a system, and it's kind of like if you had to compare it to science, it's like a unified field, and it's within all of us. It's a system of becoming aware. It's like what you just said. Do we have to prepare for this, or do we just step into it and start noticing it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do certain things in your life on a daily basis, suddenly we become more aware or conscious of the things that have already existed there all the time. You ever been like driving down the road? I'm driving through LA, and I'll go, "Oh my God, look at that new building!" And somebody says, "Mike, that's been there for 3 years." And I go, "What?" I'm just becoming aware of it for the first time. And I think we've all had that experience. And what's occurring is that as people begin to wake up, and you know, the definition of wake up would become be more aware of what's going on around us, the synchronicities, the signs, the things maybe that we did not notice last month or last year, now we're becoming aware of on a daily basis more frequently. Well, there's things that we can do, techniques that we can use that we've developed called the system, whereby we actually activate or program our awareness of these synchronicities.
Now, let me ask you, though, when these things occur with people, like lost time, for example, you used the driving example, looking at a building that was always there. Lost time, how many of us have gone from point A to point B, miles in between, and we have no recollection of how we got there? None at all. Some people think they were abducted. You know, I don't know what has happened to me. What causes that?
Well, it's I've certainly had that, and I had a radical example years ago when I was living in Austin, Texas. One night I left a place that I normally leave around maybe 10 o'clock at night, and it usually takes me 45 minutes to drive to my home there at the time when I was living there, and 2 in the morning, George, 2 in the morning, I became aware that I was no longer on the road home. But I had driven down past San Antonio, going out of San Antonio toward another town. And I became awake and aware for the first time in hours and hours, and I lost that whole time. And the only explanation that I had for it was that I was totally absorbed. What some scientists call the quantum moment. You know, you've heard that there really is no future and there really is no past. Well, there really isn't at the quantum level. You only have the moment. And I had gone into that moment, and the autonomic response that took over was, you know, my body could drive the car and take care of what was going on outwardly, but inwardly, I was really, I call it... There's another term for it. There's several terms for it.
Well, but Michael, if, for example, a car had cut in front of you when you were in this zoned out way, mm-hmm. would your body have reacted. Your foot would have hit the brakes. Your arms would have taken control of the steering wheel. Your eyes would have seen what was happening. Would you have gotten out of that, or would you have crashed?
I would have gotten out of it. And I've had that happen before, to where something occurs almost in the periphery as I call it soul traveling, to where I'm not really physically there. My energy form is somewhere else, but my body is taking care of all the things that need to be taken care of while driving.
And simply put, George, it's a state of awareness. Soul travel is simply focusing on something else. And so as Michael was driving, he was really soul traveling. His attention and his consciousness, his focus was elsewhere and not so much in this physical plane, though his body was still operating a vehicle.
Synchronicity and coincidence. Now, listening to this program, you both know that I'm not a believer in coincidence. I'm a believer that things happen. There is luck. There is chance. But coincidence, I don't think so. I believe in fate. Give me your thoughts on coincidence.
Well, for me, I found this to be true in my life. Coincidence is something that occurs on a daily basis. For example, maybe I dream of rainbows. One night I dreamt of a triple rainbow, and I've seen them. The only time I've ever seen them in my waking life is in Hawaii, where there's a triple rainbow. One night I had a dream of a triple rainbow. The next day, as I was driving across Los Angeles, and I saw two or three different bumper stickers with rainbows on them. Then I saw a billboard advertising the Rainbow Cafe, and then the next person that I met later in the day was having a conversation about rainbows. Well, that was certainly a synchronicity, and some people would call it a coincidence or a serendipity, but what it was telling me, like, what's the message? Obviously, there's a message there for me, and it was that things were going really well for me, because my symbol for rainbow means everything's on track. Things are going exactly as I hoped they would go and as I planned they would.
Simply put, George, I like to think of coincidence, also known as an omen or a sign or a synchronicity, mm-hmm. is a form of guidance. So when something occurs that strikes our attention in that manner, it's a little bit of guidance, preparing us, giving us a warning, letting us know we're moving ahead in the right direction, or, hey, you might want to hold it up and retrace your steps and make a different choice.
All right, how do you explain something like this? Go to a place when I'm in St. Louis for lunch on a regular basis. Go in there, get an iced tea, a quick little salad or something like that. The guy who pours me the iced tea, his name's Russell. He says, he brings up Shirley Temple and Buddy Ebsen, the late Buddy Ebsen, mm-hmm. Jed Clampett, right? And he brings up Buddy Ebsen. I hadn't heard that name mentioned in 5 years, okay? 5 years. And he's just talking about him. Lo and behold, he's got this big screen TV on in this area. Up comes a promo for some show, and there's Buddy Ebsen. Now, I haven't heard about him in 5 years, and all of a sudden this guy's talking about him, and then lo and behold, up pops on television a promo for him. How in the heck does that happen? And why?
Well, for me, synchronicities like that synchronicity that you just mentioned are really messages from myself to myself. And in your case, you, since it's your synchronicity, you know, only you know what it means. But my explanation of it would be that Buddy Ebsen has a meaning for you, and as you start thinking about Buddy Ebsen or you run into a thought of Buddy Ebsen that day, it automatically triggers, because of your electromagnetic field, you, George, thinking about that at some point, even if it's coincidental, like you just flash on it, it triggers something also within the quantum order that brings an event directly to you. It attracts it to you. And it's really, I found it controlled or explained by the law of affinity, that really like attracts like. So we use it every day in our life, whether we know it or not. And it's kind of like whatever we were thinking about or whatever we were wondering about will draw that thing also to us. So maybe three more people mention Buddy Epson. Then you turn on the TV or you look at the TV and he's on there. And it's really regulated by the fact that it's coming in on a vibration or a frequency that really is being triggered by you, and it has a message directly back to you. So what does Buddy Epson mean?
Yeah, George, let me take you down the road here just a little bit. Because
I'm
this
on
is
the
how,
road. Let's go.
This is how an individual will figure out what a sign means to them. So there's two things. It's when I say Buddy Epson, what comes to mind? In other words, quick word association. For you.
For me? You're asking me?
Yep.
Two things. The Alamo, because he was with Davy Crockett I don't know if it was the Davy Crockett story or the Alamo. I think it was the Davy Crockett story. That and the Beverly Hillbillies, obviously. So what does that mean?
Hold on.
what are you doing? Writing?
You betcha.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're
this
analyzing
is
me?
Science here, George.
Nicole, you're analyzing me.
That's what I do.
Great.
Okay, so we got David Crockett, we got the Beverly Hillbillies. The second piece in interpreting a sign, the message of the sign, is this. Quick word association followed by what was I thinking about that day? What was I wondering about? Separate from Buddy Epson, what was on your mind?
Everything's on my mind at any given time. I think about the program. I think about stacking the show. I think about my friends, my kids, my parents. I think about everything. So nothing specifically.
Well, what was going on at your lunch? You know, what was the topic of conversation or the thought? You know, maybe you don't want to get into it on the internet.
No. Everything I talk about, Nicole, is public. I think we were talking about the weather. It was brutally hot in California when I left. It was brutally hot in St. Louis. They said when I was coming in, it changed. California weather stayed brutally hot, which I missed. It was cool when I left. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis's horrible summer, and it was a bad summer weather-wise, started getting cool. It's gorgeous out today. So we talked a little about that. And then he got into the Buddy Epson thing. How do we know it wasn't him, that this wasn't all about him and Buddy Epson?
Mainly because you noticed it. And synchronicities are signs in terms of...
Well, that's true. I did.
And it could be the media. You know, if I had to make a guess...
Yeah, exactly.
I would say Buddy Epson's a performer. He's obviously been in the media.
Yeah, what do you think of him? The caliber?
I think he was very talented.
Uh-huh.
I think he was good at what he did. And I guess when Russell mentioned Shirley Temple, I thought of the dance scene. You remember that? Maybe you don't. I'm older than both of you. So, yeah, I thought about that. But, I mean, it was just, to me, it was the fact that it would happen, that the synchronicity of the event was there. And this happens to me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The dance scene, does that make you smile, warm-hearted?
Not necessarily. I was surprised that someone of his caliber also had the talent to dance like that.
Mm-hmm.
Aha! Now we're getting into something.
What are we getting into?
A little bit of a dichotomy.
How so?
Things aren't as they appear to be. I mean, that's what you just spoke of.
And do I equate that to myself?
Well, no, I don't know, George. Probably not. But or maybe.
And maybe that's part of your philosophy. I think, you know, having listened to you for some time, I would say that things are not as they appear to be. And
especially on your show, huh?
That's what your show's about.
Always changing it. Well,
yeah.
is there a law behind this? Is there a physics behind it, a science behind it?
Between the synchronicities, you bet.
Yeah, there's...
There's three, actually.
Yeah, it's the law. I've found that synchronicities are... And Carl Jung talked a lot about this, and he contended, as you know, that there's a synchrony between mind and matter, the world. When we think of something, that it affects the synchronicity, the event suddenly appears, like Buddy Epson and seeing it over and over and over again, that somehow we have triggered that. But there's three different laws that I've found kind of explain it and work with it. One is the law of affinity, that really like attracts like. And that,
let's get into, Michael, let's get into the three laws when we come right back. And also, the Dream Dudes, their new website is trustyourself.tv. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll get back and talk about some of these three laws of coincidence or synchronicity and some other issues. And then next hour, we may open up the phone lines with them as we get into then after that, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Coast to Coast AM, one of the few nationally syndicated talk shows that runs seven nights a week. A lot of them only go five. We go seven, thanks in part to people like none other than Ian Punnett.
You know, I've been listening to this very interesting conversation with the Dream Dudes here.
Yeah, they're maybe, good people.
Maybe they can help me understand. I had a dream last night where O.J. Simpson came into my hotel room and stole my Milky Way bar. And now I'm beginning to wonder whether that's prophetic or something.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? I'll tell you what tomorrow night means. I know you're busy. Jack Cashel will come back on. We were talking about Flight 800 last week from TWA, and we get a lot of email. People claiming to know things, and so Jack will join us in the first hour for an update. And then our good old friend Glenn Kimball has been doing work at Kimball College on the whole Mayan 212 calendar and what he thinks it means. He's got some, I think, some very startling kind of ideas, and we're going to let Glenn explore that coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM.
Fascinating. That's Ian Punnett. And of course, the program starts at 10 p.m. Pacific time. 10 p.m. Pacific time. So you make sure that you check your local station. Also, it's on XM channel 165. And of course, Streamlink, which you can find by going to the coasttocoastam.com website to read all about it. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We're with the Dream Dudes, Michael and Nicole Sebastian. Michael, you're talking about these three principles, these three laws. Go ahead.
Yeah, they are. Hey, one point, though, I was just, you know, to your question at the beginning of the show, and it was really an intriguing one. What's going on? And a lot of times you're covering the 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a point that we touched on, but I have a belief that that field of consciousness, things are changing, and we're getting more and more of people becoming awake or aware of dreams, synchronicities, intuition, more psychic things going on. And I believe that the end of the Mayan calendar, that really kind of marks a shift in consciousness on the planet, almost like the 100th monkey theory, that we will hit a certain critical mass or number. And when we do, there will be a shift in consciousness to where everyone, the planet in general, goes up another click or another level. And it will be a very interesting time.
And you can feel that click, but let's go back to these three laws you were going to mention.
Okay. Yeah, and they're the ones that I've found that really regulate and speak directly to synchronicities. And although many people have talked about synchronicities and experiencing them, it's like, well, where do they come from, and what do they mean? And I found that the law of affinity is one law that really addresses it, the law of unity, and also the law of cause and effect. And we'll start with the law of affinity, and it's really just the law of attraction. It's another way of saying the law of attraction. Like attracts like, just like a law of physics. For example, but it's vibrational or more of a frequency thing at a quantum level. And really, we know that certain vibrations or frequencies attract or tune into the similar vibrations or frequency. You could take a tuning fork, for example, and take a specific tuning fork at a certain frequency and put 10 tuning forks 50 yards away. And when you hit this one here, if they were all tuned to different frequencies, only the one that was on the exact frequency would start resonating 50 yards away.
Right.
And it would resonate at the same frequency that this one did. The rest of them would just sit there. And that's kind of like an example of like attracts like, or the law of affinity. But I mean, on a daily basis, what does it mean to us? Well, if we get up in the morning, you ever notice when you maybe stub your toe on a chair or something, and it starts snowballing, and the day goes from there to pretty soon you're sitting in traffic and you have a fender bender and things go dramatically downhill. Well, you know, what triggered that? I mean, just the opposite occurs too. You get up and everything you touch turns to gold that day. What a day. Well, one way to explain that is the law of affinity. There's a certain vibration that we set up within ourselves. We control our own universe. And in the morning, we begin with that frequency or vibration. And from there, everything flows out of us, hits the implicate order or the quantum level, and comes back to us in exact kind. And that, you know, that ties once again into the law of unity, that everything is indeed connected. And maybe we're having, a good example is maybe we're having a heated argument with someone on the phone, and as we're really arguing, you can feel it heating up because you're kind of losing your temper. You're really into it.
Gets a little louder.
You go to take, you reach over for the hot coffee to take a sip, and you spill the thing in your lap. And, you know, later on when you start to calm down, you go, wow, I wonder if those two things were connected, spilling hot coffee on myself and having a heated argument. Well, of course, the answer is yes, because your emotions, they've boiled over into an event in daily reality. In other words, we triggered that from within us. I mean, I've been around people, even myself, when I've gotten totally emotional about something and something cracks or breaks, a glass will just shatter. And I look at it like, wow, how did that happen? And it's my emotional state directly affecting something outwardly.
Well, with this so-called synchronicity, are we able, for example, Nicole, let me throw this your way, to predict things? Do we see outcomes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do synchronicities, do they predict the future? Well, yes and no, George, because ultimately I feel that we create our future. And I believe that synchronicities or signs provide us with guidance to assist us in manifesting the best outcome for us in our own lives. So, as Michael mentioned, you know, exploding glass and this type of thing and flat tire, that's letting you know, hey, you're out of balance. You need to get right on track.
Is it just, could it be rotten luck?
Oh, no, George, no. Everything is created from within. It's our own world that we're, you know, we're vibrating at that certain rate that Michael mentioned, and it's due to that vibration that our world is thus created.
Well, you don't believe in luck or bad luck, good luck?
No.
You do not?
No, I believe in manifesting your own destiny, and I believe that through dreams, signs, and intuition, we're provided with ongoing guidance that is ongoing and free. It's free, and that's really cool. And it's up to us to use discernment in deciphering or decoding the messages that are provided to us on a daily basis.
And what's really cool, George, is that you can test all these things. I mean, the proof for me has always been, I mean, there's a lot of metaphysical and mystical theories and different things out there. And for me, it always comes down to testing it within myself and then seeing if it works and then replicating it, even though, you know, I may not be able to prove it in a scientific methodology. I can certainly prove it to myself. And then if it works, I use it in my life. And I like to, I know that I can retune myself in the morning on a daily basis. So if I start out having that bad day and it starts snowballing, and it has, I will, if I'm in my car, I'll pull over to the side of the road and retune myself from the inside out by using a frequency technique. Or the, you know, sometimes I call it the synchronicity of sound, using sound. And
does breathing contribute to that too?
Absolutely.
Slow deep breaths kind of calm you down a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I like to do, George, and we've been on before, and you're gracious. You always let us do the Hue technique and share that with your listeners. And that's what I would like to share once again.
And explain what it means, what it does.
Okay, you got it. Michael, you want to go first?
Go ahead and give him the Hue, and then I'll give him an explanation.
All right, that sounds good. The Hue simply goes like this. Hue. H-U-H-U and it's a vibratory rate. And it's really like you'd fine-tune a piano, or you'd go give your car, an automobile, a tune-up.
Do you have to do it for a long time?
No, no, no. You inhale, what I do anyway, I inhale, and on the exhale is the hue. So, hue on the exhale, just till the breath runs out. So it's very natural, and it's not forced, and it's of our own tone and vibration. So whatever your own pitch is perfect for you. And the cool thing, if you're at work or what have you, you don't have to hue out loud. Number one, if it feels uncomfortable, or number two, if there's other people around. So it's a really simple technique.
It's a healing sound, and it's a retuning sound. I mean, we all know that sound's now used for, you know, a thousand different purposes in medicine, but what it does when we do it ourselves, it sets up a frequency or vibration within ourselves at the atomic level where the atoms are, and it actually reorganizes them or scrubs them. So our frequency or vibration, our outflow on a daily basis, is at a much higher, finer level so that we can flow out good feelings and they come back.
And yeah, harmony. I like the word harmony. It really harmonizes us. And
well, it's like Tibetan monks in their chants,
exactly,
and things like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. There's quite a history on the hue. I don't know if you want to hear the mini version of the history of
yeah,
the hue.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure thing.
The hue, number one, is found in the Oxford Dictionary. So that's, you know, that's an ancient book. Additionally, the hue is found 5,000 years ago, back in the times of Egypt, and Michael's going to talk about the Sphinx here in just a minute. But it's found in the Druids, the Kabbalah, the Quran. So it's found in all these ancient texts. And currently it's found in Ekinkar as a form of prayer and contemplation, known as a spiritual exercise. And the coolest story, though, is the recent one we just found, because we research, you know, this stuff,
sure,
was the Sphinx. Michael, you want to tell that story?
Yeah, about 5,000 years ago, people used to gather in Egypt at the Sphinx, but they didn't call it the Sphinx then. They called it Hu, actually, H-U. And there was a god in Egypt called Hu, and the Sphinx represented Hu, and they would gather there, and at sunset, thousands of people would begin to chant or sing Hu, and they would do it all night long until sunrise, the first rays of dawn they would see. So it was like a 10 or 12 hour hue chant, and they did it as a form of prayer, really, and as a way to get in harmony.
Yeah.
Is there any special strength by doing it in mass?
Yes, there is. It's real different than, you know, you've heard the old where two or more are gathered. I think there's a line like that in the Bible. And there's strength in numbers. And when we hue by ourselves, I'll notice a certain effect, like what it does for me, how it's changed my life. It brings more, opens my heart, really, brings more joy, puts me in the, what I call the fabric, like my true potential. However, when I hue with a group, when a bunch of people get together and hue, it creates what I would call I'd call it a quantum flow. And you can feel that flow. You ever, some days you've stepped into something and you go, oh my, what? This is great. And you can feel it. You feel like you are timeless. You feel like you've stepped into something like a time slipstream, a flow. And that's what I can feel with the hue when we do it with a group hue, yes.
It's got that power then, and it all has to do with, I think, resonance and everything else like that.
Exactly.
And bringing it back to signs and things, George, is that the hue, I consider it your primer of discernment, just like you put a coat of primer on a vehicle. Well, if you did a paint job without primer, that paint job is not going to be too appealing. So the hue is your primer of discernment, because if you don't have that level of discernment and calmness within, you will be misinterpreting messages, and running amok, nonetheless.
So it's kind of like you said earlier, does, you know, breathing help? Well, yes, it does. I mean, when we breathe in, we increase the oxygen in our body, and it has a pretty dramatic effect. When we're stressed out and we're jangled and we stop and take three deep breaths, you can immediately feel the change in consciousness. It starts to shift. If you couple that with the hue for a few minutes, you've just changed your life.
Oh, George, I have got a story. This just occurred. I was just in Texas.
All right.
And I share the hue with anyone that'll listen, really. And it was, you know, a friend of a friend. No, her uncle, actually. And he's 80. And he's on a lung machine.
Okay.
Breathing oxygen. He carries the tank around.
With the little tubes up his nose?
You got it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need them 24/7. So when we were chatting at the house, and it was a birthday and all of this, you know, I was sharing the hue. And he didn't have his oxygen with him at that time. He left it at the home. He can go get by a couple hours without it. All right, fine and dandy. So then we part ways, and I was there for a few days, so then I saw him again the next day. And he goes, he grabbed a hold of me, and he said, I've got to tell you this. I said, okay. He goes, you know that exercise? And at first I thought, exercise? What exercise? But he meant the Hue technique. I said, well, yes, uh-huh. And he said, I tested my oxygen level, and it was at an 85. Normally, then I need to do my, you know, add some oxygen and use the oxygen.
Sure.
To increase his number. He said, instead, I started to hue. He said, Nicole, the number went up to 96 without adding oxygen.
That's incredible.
No, he was so astounded. I mean, tears, we almost broke into tears because it was such a profound story of the hue and healing and gaining that power within. And ultimately, that's why everything, you know, in our world is trust yourself. It's about empowerment. And he said, now I don't need to rely on that. If I'm out and I need that, I can just do the hue.
Should you technically do it every morning, whether you're having a good day or not, or on your way to one?
Well, you know, George, I practice the hue daily. I've been hueing for, you know, over a decade. I have found it to be very useful. And it's funny because here in the house, we have a thing, and it's either you're a love ball or you're a sourpuss.
All right. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. I'm sure you've had a bad day, right?
Well, sure. But you know what? That's a good point because it softens the blows of life. That's how I see it. It puts a cushion around things and makes it a little bit easier.
It lets you move on.
Yes, yes, gracefully, George.
Well, and a lot of people need to do that because there's some people that can't move on, and they hold this within themselves.
Yeah.
They get themselves sick, and I can't tell you, you know, on a scientific level, you know, they say stress kills. Mm-hmm. I believe it. I believe it. And I think people nowadays are going through an incredible amount of stress, whether it's financial or political or earthwise. They're going through a lot of stress. They're getting bombarded every day with all kinds of negativity.
Right.
And there's got to be a breaking point somewhere, Michael and Nicole, where people just say, you know, we're fed up with this. We're not going to take it anymore.
And, you know, I think everybody I've run into, if you say, what's different? It's really interesting because we were just back in New York, and we were doing some work with in film and dreams. We were working with dreamers, and all the people's lives we were working with were upside down. And consequently, it was reflected in their dreams. Their dreams were upside down, but the dreams had the messages or solutions giving them what they needed to correct their life. So we were doing this work, and what I found was different was everyone I met back there in New York, George, whether we were working with them or not, I'm talking about people at the hotel, people we ran in, cab drivers, they all wanted something desperately. They were seeking for the next step, and they were going, anything, just give me anything to slow things down so it's not so crazy for me. I could feel it. So when we gave them the hue, you know, what have I got to give you in 1 minute in an elevator or something, really is the hue. And some of those people, you know, came back and they had tears in their eyes. They said, thank you, because the hue slows the vibrations down so we can begin to breathe once again and realize the joy of life.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls next. Those of you who have questions about dreams or synchronicity, I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with Michael and Nicole Sebastian, the Dream Dudes on Coast to Coast AM.